This is really good. I want to read some things to you that kind of describe the world that we live in now. Because, you know, if I talk to either one of you about anything, one of the things that would deeply concern me and you is this world that we live in now. I've got two beautiful grandchildren over there that it bothers me what kind of world that we're bringing them up in, you know. It may bother you about some of the things you see. And he says, this gentleman, I'm quoting is Pastor Ron Johnson. He says, I'm sorry, Pastor David Johnson. He says, it puzzles me why people in this life choose to live so badly. He said, I'm not saying that everyone lives wickedly, although a good share of them do. But even those that don't, it just seems they're so content with being ordinary, mundane, and in the everyday grind. And that's what I want to hit you with today. Ordinary. Are we content with being ordinary, mundane, everyday grind? We're just like everybody else, you know. He says, even those who are prominent in our culture leave little to admire and much less to imitate. Famous entertainers amuse the world of bored sleepwalkers. Spoiled athletes play games for lazy spectators. Oh boy. Insane criminals plaster the headlines for couch potatoes. And if you're content with the status quo, if you're content to just live life in the ordinary, then you'll fit right in. But you won't, you'll fit right in with the norm, but you won't like this sermon, I'll tell you that. Because that's where this is going. He said, if you're sick of the headlines, and you incensed by the wickedness of television, and buddy, we could go 2 days talking about that, and the entertainment world and all, and if you're at all felt the tug of your soul that hungers in righteousness after God, he said, then this message is going to be for you. This will be for you this morning. The condition of our society has deteriorated so that we've become a nation that instead of punishing crime, we've elevated obscure criminals to become national heroes as we've plastered their names across airwaves and in print. He said the media feeds this nation raving hunger with stories of murderers who provided us with psychological profiles of these insane, wicked monsters in a horror movie. The judicial system spends dollars, billions of dollars annually in what has become a national soap opera of the depravity of man, the sinfulness of man. Every year we've gotten so much worse and so much worse. And he says, even in our church movements today, Christians have become more interested in with the latest immoral scandals than they have in the moving of the Holy Spirit. God forbid we do that, folks. He says gossip columns run much longer than Good Samaritan columns. Telephone wires buzz not with prayer requests, but with juicy information about someone. It just has to be passed on. With, oh, my Lord, did you hear this? But you know, if you look around on the other side, if you look around and find people who are wanting to live a righteous life before God, They're spiritually mature. They're whole. They're a blessed person. You don't hear about them much, do you? You think about it. No journalist wants to interview them because, you know, they're evidently boring. No talk show features these people. You're not going to hear them people. They said that they're not admired by anybody. I don't know why. They've got it figured out. They're not looked up to. They don't set trends. They have no cash value in them. Ain't nobody going to give them an Oscar just for the integrity that they have in Christ. And they never make the list of the top 100 most influential people in America. They don't make the list because they're living a righteous life, following after Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Our society has gotten to a point where we need to decide, folks, as Christians, are we going to be happy running with the turkeys, or do we want to fly with eagles? And I see a lot of things in our church that tell me that, yes, we want to fly with eagles. I believe that. I believe a number of you do. But I also believe there's a number of you that says, I'm status quo, just coming, doing what we're doing. It's fine with me. We don't change up anything. Be careful. Be careful. I'm going to read you a story this morning. This is right for us, and I think God wants to tell us, give us a message here. Let me set the story up before we go. This is going to be short, I promise you. Get out early today. And that's my get out early, not Brother Frank's get out early. I just got two or three things I want to show you. But in Jeremiah chapter 12, let me say, right before this happened, Jeremiah had to leave his hometown of Anathoth, and he had to do so because there was such danger there, because the people who opposed God didn't want to hear the preaching from the man of God. And Jeremiah's a prophet. He's one of God's men on this earth. He's preaching the message of a holy God. He's saying the words that God has put in his mouth to serve, and he's being tortured for it. Ridicule. And now his life has been threatened. So Jeremiah is feeling kind of lonely right now. And all of a sudden, the wicked king is appointed to the throne, Jehoiakim, and things don't look good there. And Josiah, his friend, the only other one he knew that was pushing for, that was preaching the word of God, he's dead. And now Jeremiah feels awful lonely in the situation he's in. Even though he's a man of God, and there's no question he's a man of God. We need to understand, God chose him to speak to a world that was far away from him. What's God chose you to do, folks? You want me to tell you? Exactly the same thing. Well, Mike, I'm not a preacher. Neither am I. He chose you to do the exact same thing. That's what he wants you to do. And Jeremiah gets just like you and I do sometimes. We get a little bit frustrated at what we have to face to do it. It's very difficult for us. And here's what put Jeremiah 12, begin the first verse there, and we'll go for a little bit there. He says, "You are always righteous, Lord. When I bring a case before you," now watch this. He said, "Yet I won't speak with you about your justice." Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? Go ahead. "You have planted them and have been they have taken root, and they grow and they bear fruit. You are always on their lips, but far from their hearts." Some verses say you're in their mouth, but you're not in their mind. Go ahead. Now he says this, "Yet you know me, Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you." Now, won't you just drag them off like sheep to be butchered and set them apart for the day of the slaughter? How long will the land lie parched and the grass in every field be withered? You ever feel like that every now and then? You see what Jeremiah just did? He's serving a holy God, and he knows that God alone is holy. And he gets to the point where he's tired of having to go through the things that this world puts you through. And so he looks up at God and says, "God, hey, man, I know you're righteous. You're the only righteous one I really know right now, and I can depend on you. But God, hey, let me tell you something about your judgments." You ever get to that point? Probably not a person in here that hadn't got to that point. You ever get to that point before God, you say, "God, I know you're God, and I believe you're righteous, and I'm living in your will, but hey, how about doing this? How about making it easier on me? Sometimes I've got up, God, I'm hurting again this morning. I got back pain. I've had back pain since I was an adult, I'd like to, God, just do away with that. Just take that out somewhere and get rid of it." But you know what? That's not praying in the will of God. That's praying in the will of Mike. Big difference. What God does when we pray in His will is He has sovereign power over us. He has sovereign protection over us. And Jeremiah is all just terrified, afraid here, trying to understand what's going on. God, you're letting them kill off the people of God. You let them kill off all my friends. And here I am, a voice crying out to these people. They're barbaric and they don't want to hear it. And I don't understand what you're doing here. Who is he to question what God is doing? But you ever do that? Don't you ever fess up with God and say, God, I don't have a good prayer life. God, I'm going to church every Sunday. God, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I witnessed a couple of times last week. So why is this thing in my life? Why don't you just take that thing away and then I'll get better? You ever make a deal with God? Tell him, take this thing away and I'll get better and better and better. I'm going to get better, Lord. I'm going to get so good you're going to be able to stand me, you know. God knows you. He knows us from creation. He knows everything that was created. You're not going to fool him by telling him anything. And for goodness sake, don't try to make any bargains with him. You got nothing to bargain with when it comes to him. Because everything you got, he owns. You may not think so, but he does. Everything you've got, he owns. Now, let's look a little further in the scripture here. He said, because of those who live in it and are wicked, the animals and the birds have perished. Moreover, the people are saying, he will not see what happens to us. This is what the enemies of God were telling Jeremiah. It's God you're talking about. He may be this and that to you, but he ain't have anything to do with what happens to us. And Jeremiah's telling God, take them out, take them all out, slaughter them all. I want you to really hone in on the answer. Here's what God said to him. He said, if you have raced with men on foot, and they have worn you out, then how can you compete when the horses come? How can you compete with the horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? Some translations say when the Jordan overflows, how are you going to be able to manage? Here's what God basically said to Jeremiah. You're my man. I chose you. And by choosing you, I'm in you. And if I'm in you, nothing's going to stand against you and defeat you. What in the world are you talking about here? And Jeremiah's going, you know, Lord, I need help here. I need help. God said, do you think there's anything I don't know that you need? And then God says, you know, I'm really disappointed because you're crying out like, you know, some little child or something, you're complaining and crying out to me, and you act like you know, you can't even stand to walk on foot with these people. When the horses come, what's going to happen to you then? You know, if you don't have a little bit more of me in you, Jeremiah, then they're going to destroy you quickly because you have no idea what's coming next. That's one thing all of us, I think, would benefit from. If we can understand this panoramic view that God has, God's already seen the end. We're somewhere here in the middle. He's already seen the end. So when we tell him, God, this, you've kind of made a mistake. Well, Jeremiah didn't say that. What Jeremiah said was, God, you know, on your next judgment, why don't you do this, make it a little easier on me? Don't you and I do that in our prayers? Lord, just make it a little easier on me. If you think, I got to thinking, I was so convicted of this, it hurt, literally hurt. Because my prayers look the same almost every day. And my prayers at one time had nothing to do with the will of God. I didn't even mention the will of God in my prayer. You know, Jesus said, this is how you ought to pray. There was a reason he put all that in there. But I'm praying for the same people. You know what we pray for our people we love and care about? God, don't let anything happen to them. God, protect them. God, look out after them. God, help them take a closer walk with you every day. There's nothing wrong with that, folks. Don't get me wrong. But we also got to say, God, thy will be done in their lives. Now, there might be different. My will and God's will might be totally different than what happens here. But it's important that we pray, God, thou wilt be done in their life. Because here at the end of the day, folks, no matter what I want for them and no matter what I want for me, God knows what's coming. He knows what's best. That's why he told Jeremiah, you sitting here worried all about the people walking on foot. You're talking about foot soldiers. What about when the horses come? What are you going to do then? There's a lot more coming, Jeremiah, than what you think. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do with the thickets in the Jordan River? What's going to happen when all that comes? And Jeremiah was really put in his place. Go add a little bit more there, if you don't mind. There you go. Your relatives and members of your own family, even they have betrayed you. God's talking here to him. They have raised a loud cry against you. Here's what God said. Do not trust them, though they speak well of you. They're underhanded. Don't trust them. And he says this. I will forsake my house, abandon my influence. I will give the one I love into the hands of her enemies. My inheritance has become to me like a lion in the forest. She roars at me, and therefore I hate her. What God's talking about is all my people. I've been protecting them. They're my people. They have a special place. And I have always had a special place for them. But now they are wanting to worship false gods. They're wanting to go worship Baal and this, that, and the other. When I've told them I'm the only God that there is, yet they don't pay any attention to me. They want to go off on this end by themselves and this end on by themselves. And they want to do that. He said, I tell you what. They're just like a lion in the forest. It roars at me, so I'm going to take care of it. So Jeremiah, I don't care if your brothers and sisters tell you positive things and say how much they love you and how everything's going great. Don't listen to them, because I know what's going to happen to them. Next verse there, please. Has not my inheritance become to me like a speckled bird of prey that other birds of prey surround and attack? Go and gather all the wild beasts and bring them to me, bring them to devour. I want to tell you about that speckled bird thing just a little bit. I studied why I didn't get that speckled bird thing. I don't know if you did. Let me share this with you. The birds, obviously, when they're growing, the crows especially, they don't want the next crow to be blacker than the one before. The guy who raised the crows wanted them all to be completely black, you know, and the darker they were, you could tell by looking at the egg that the darker they were, then the more vintage crow, so to speak, they were. It's like they were more authentic, the blacker the crow was. Now, here's what God says to him. He said, you know, these crows that I'm looking at, the speckle. Can you go back to the other verse, please? Yeah, the inheritance became to me like a speckled bird of prey that other birds of prey surround and attack. Now, what he's telling Jeremiah is you cannot be lapped into them. You know what I'm saying? You're my man. I've chosen you. So you're not just one of the black crows. Your eggs are speckled because you're going to be a speckled crow. Now, what's that mean? You're going to be different. You know, when you and I say yes to the call of Jesus Christ and we ask him to come into our life and to save us. Let me tell you something, folks, everything about that from that point on is different. We all are speckled crows. You can say, well, how we get to be? No, we don't want to be deep in sin again. We want to all be speckled crows. That's what we want to be. And sometimes we find it hard to do. But Jeremiah's given us some great, great words. Next, put that back. Yeah, there you go. Many shepherds will ruin my vineyard and trample down my field, and they will turn my pleasant field into a desolate wasteland. It will be made a wasteland, parched and desolate before me. The whole land will be laid waste because there is no one who cares. No one who cares. One more, please. Over all the barren heights in the desert, destroyers will swarm, for the sword of the Lord will devour from one end of the land to the other. No one will be safe. You know, I'm going to stop right there because I can't top that, because God is saying there is no one on that earth that's going to be equal to what I can do. Jeremiah, take it easy. Just have some patience for a little while, because after all, they gather their armies and they want to come after me. I'm going to stand right there and I put that sword down and get rid of every one of them in a minute. Just like that, I can go. So he said, here you are crying, complaining because they've threatened your life and because you know, do you know who you're serving? How about you, folks? Sometimes I have to take a second look and say, which God am I serving? Am I serving the all-powerful God who sees the end of everything and he's going to take care of me and I understand that? Or am I serving this God that I want to be all roses and everything be lovely and take all the hurt and all the trouble and problems and everything out of my life, Lord? You know, I was thinking here lately, sometimes God makes you especially for whatever problems that's come in your life, because somebody else wouldn't be able to handle it. That's the truth. I can think of four or five indications right now with people I know. God made them to handle what trouble is in their life. And he has made a person out of them of character and integrity in God, because they had this trouble they had to make. They had to take care of it. So let's be careful, folks, when we turn and say, Lord, you know, do you really know what you're doing? I mean, can't you do something with these people and get rid of them? Because, you know, they're making it real difficult for me. You know, we're all that way, folks. And from time to time, we all get that way. Lord, just help us. Don't make the way easier for us. That's what we all pray. You know, that's what I want. The world will be easy for me. We go through it. I don't know anywhere in the gospel it said, if you come unto me, I'll make everything easy and you don't have to worry about a thing. Didn't say that. He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. You know, bring your burdens and I'll give you rest. But it didn't say that life's problems would all go away and that everything would just be lovely. I wished it did say that. It doesn't, folks. And from this lesson, what we ought to hear, what we ought to see now, is God doesn't want minimally invasive Christians. You know what I'm talking about? God does not want people to represent him that's going to jump and fly at the first little sign of danger. We need to understand that who we're serving. The God inside of us, he ain't going to run from anything. He's not scared of anything. Why would we want to do that? I think sometimes we need a little self-check to see where we are in our prayer life, see where we are from God. You notice that Jeremiah earlier said, God, you know me now. Wait a minute. You know me, God. You know what I've been doing. I've been representing you. I got everything right with you. All of us believe that from time to time. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it's just not true. We're not going down the path he set for us. And we wonder why everything's not going perfect. But let me say to you that, folks, if anything's clear in this passage, it's that God wants people who represent him, that represent him with strength and conviction as to who he is and what he's going to do. You know, we talk about our church and we talk about different things in our church. I heard Brother Ronnie this Wednesday, and I agree. What a tremendous witness. A terrible illness scared you half to death, but a great witness that came from it. You know, we all look and say, God's in everything. He's in everything. I've had people tell me that sometimes I look and I say, I don't see him. That doesn't mean he's not there. If you don't see him, it means there's something wrong here. Not with him, here. And I listened to that Wednesday night, and I was just so moved by that. I thought, well, that's great. You know, that's really good. You and I probably got stories we could tell the same way. If we don't, we need to have them. Let me invite you to do something this morning. Search down deep a little bit, okay? I'm not asking you to do anything drastic. Take a little inventory of where you are spiritually, okay? And see if you don't need to be running, flying with the eagles rather than running with the turkeys. That's not a pretty sight, running with turkeys. You want to start and flying with the eagles? Your first step's coming up here this morning, kneeling at that altar and asking God to help you, asking him to forgive you of your sins. If you've never trusted God as Lord and Savior, this is the morning that you should come and do that. Then that's the only way you'll know what it's like to fly with eagles this morning. So make a plan just one. You know, don't sit back and say, well, this is okay. Let's go home and, you know, see what we got for lunch type thing. Just do God's business this morning. So you, as we sing, you come. Let me pray for us quickly here. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for these that have come this morning. Lord, for those that are here this morning, Lord, and I count myself among them, Lord, convicted by this message, Lord, that maybe we're not where we should be, even though we've been chosen by you and saved by your son, Jesus. Maybe, Lord, we're just a little bit on spoiled side to where we're used to all, everything going great, everything going wonderful. And when something doesn't, Lord, we turn to a lot of things, all of them, you're not involved in any of them. So, Lord, I pray for every heart that's here this morning. Look deeply within those hearts, Lord, and if there's changes need to be made, Lord, I pray. I can't do it, but, Lord, you can. So I pray this morning, Lord, lead people down here to pray, Lord. Let them take the step to pray, Lord, to get closer to you so that, Lord, when we face difficulty, problems in this life, we'd stand strong and represent the God that we serve, that we know is sovereign over all. Thank you for this opportunity to represent this most beautiful word. In Jesus' name, amen.